Just die, he thought, watching Winter perform her ballet of destruction. Sir, the lead archer asked. If they stayed in that position much longer, they would need to reset, and Hayden would become suspicious of the delay. Fire, damn it, just fire. Arrows streaked through the air, the whistle of them competing with the ringing of steel and the cries of the unlucky. Distance Camp. I heard a new sound coming from the sky. I had nothing to compare it to, but I was convinced it was menacing. I could not spare the time to find this new threat, and yet it seemed to be far enough away as to not be of consequence. The high-pitched whistle ended in the wails of ferals. Whatever was happening was detrimental to them, and that was fine with me. I slashed two more of them before that invisible signal was once again given, and they pulled back. I thought about giving chase as they exposed their backs to me. But once I looked over the field, I could see downed bodies riddled with what looked like small spears, and they were still being thrown from the trees. I could only watch as more and more of our foe was impaled. Arrows, Cedar said. I'm glad to see you're all right, I said, as I slipped out of my fugue state. It was close a couple of times. Tallow? He took a blow to the leg, but otherwise he looks all right. Who do you think is shooting those? We were both watching. I could only shake my head. The range of this new weapon had us at a distinct disadvantage. When they decided to shoot our way, we could offer up little else except hiding. I think the question might be, why are they helping us? That is exactly what is happening. They could have just as easily waited for the ferals to finish us. The numbers that melted back into the woods were considerably short of what had attacked us. We were safe from them, for now at least. This new opponent, though, was one to be feared. Look, Cedar exclaimed, pointing. Two men with broadswords came out of the woods off to our left, followed by a dozen or so of the arrow throwers. We should get everyone behind the rocks. The misery within the enclosure stunk of fear, defecation, potential infection, and death. The ferals had paid a large price in human life trying to take our fortification, but we also had suffered some grievous wounds. At least a dozen of us were dead, and another 20 or so were injured. Some would not recover, especially without bandages or any way to clean out their wounds. I was disgusted with the brokers for leaving us without even the most basic medical supplies. Disease would set in, and they would die pain-laden deaths. The ferals had done our wounded no favors by not finishing the job. The practicality with which I thought of their suffering seemed callous, and it was in direct contrast to the sorrow I felt for them. I couldn't think about what we had really lost. I turned my back on my fallen friends and faced the field. Tallow joined Cedar and myself atop the rocks once the living were retrieved and safely behind the wall again. There's only 14 of them. Should we just rush them? Tallow questioned. We wouldn't make it halfway there. Of that I was positive. They have bow and arrows, Cedar said. What? I read about them. They used them a lot during the medieval times.
The what times? Tallow asked.
One of them has a white flag.
Well, come on, Cedar. Obviously you know what that means, I prodded.
They want to talk, she said, pleased with herself.
About what?
Maybe we should get a bunch of people together to go out and meet them, then kill them. Tallow was watching intently as the men traversed the open space.
That sort of treachery is frowned upon, Cedar explained.
This is war, he said, as if she didn't have a clue to what was going on.
Especially during war? She corrected him.
They've stopped, I said, while Tallow and Cedar verbally sparred.
Oh, yeah. We're supposed to meet them halfway, Cedar told us.
I'll go. Tallow jumped down off the rocks.
Not alone.
I jumped down as well.
I'm not staying here, Cedar followed.
Winter, Cedar, just stay here. It won't look good if I bring women.
Did he really just say that out loud? Cedar said, aghast, looking at me.
That didn't come out the way I meant it.
Yes, it did, Tallow. I'll forgive you this one time. Cedar and I were fighting alongside everyone, and we have just as much of a place here as anyone. If not more so, Cedar threw in. If not more so, I echoed. Fine, but let me do the talking. I hate to quote Durango, but who made you boss? I asked him. There was pain in his features, or maybe it was worry. He did not answer. We were within 10 feet when Tallow stopped, as did Cedar and I. I am Hayden, of the Klondike clan, the man to the right of the flag-bearer stated. He was younger than Brody, yet every bit as imposing. He was only a few inches taller than me, but he was twice my width. He looked like he could have lifted some of the stones we had trouble rolling into place right over his head. I wish to parley with the leader of the Distancians, he stated. His face looked like it was cut from marble, like the Greek statues of old. His pale blue eyes shone brightly, in stark contrast to his long black hair. The only imperfection, if you could even call it that, was a scar that came from below his right eye down to the corner of his mouth. If anything, it enhanced his physical appearance. I felt myself, reluctantly, drawn to the enemy. I am the leader, Tallow stepped forward. Cedar punched him in his shoulder. What I mean to say is that we are all the leaders. A triumvirate. How very Roman, Hayden smiled. I could see by the crinkle around his eyes that it was not a forced gesture. My name is Tallow. This is Cedar and Winter. Hayden strode forward, clasping Tallow's hand. He shook it once. He did the same to Cedar. When he came to me, he grabbed my hand, but did not let go after what I figured was his custom. You fight magnificently, Winter of Distance. His gaze was penetrating. Even when Tallow spoke, he did not look away. Thank you. What do you wish to talk about? Yes, Hayden, what do you wish to talk about? The man that was carrying the white flag asked. It was clear that whatever Hayden wanted was not in accord with what he himself wanted. Serrat, can you not see that I am busy? Serrat himself was a good-sized man, although where Hayden may have been sculpted by the hand of a gifted artist, Serrat had been lumped together by an angry child. I guess that's not an entirely fair description, but compared to one as beautiful as Hayden, he came up lacking. He seemed sincere enough, but I had my doubts. You are our sworn enemy, Hayden of the Klondike clan. Why would you wish to talk? Right to the point. I like that. I saw you in battle earlier, and I could not help but be awed by the way you fought. I was moved to assist in any way I could, and an opportunity presented itself that let you deal with the feral dogs on your own terms, I replied. Hayden laughed. You're as smart as you are beautiful. I thought as I neared that some of that beauty would diminish, but if anything, it is magnified. I have never met such a creature as yourself. Do you have a kilt? Because that would be just about perfect, Cedar interjected. Why would I wear clothes of a Scottish origin? He asked, glancing over at her. Oh, nothing. Sorry. Just something I read, Cedar smiled. So what now? We have met, you have helped us, not completely for altruistic reasons, but you have helped. What happens now? Did you merely wish to meet us face to face before you strike? I asked him. If we had wished to strike, you would already be dead, Serrat spoke. We will await you, I said defiantly. I will purposefully look for you on the field of battle, or will you hide behind your arrow throwers? How dare you insult me, Serrat roared, pulling his sword free. We are in a parley, Serrat. Do you wish to betray that covenant? Hayden had one hand on the man. She had the insolence to question my courage. She must pay. I will not be degraded by a Distancian whelp. That whelp single-handedly killed over 30 attacking ferals. As skilled as you are with a sword, I'm not sure you could have matched her. Hayden was smiling. But there was something else in there as well. A warning, perhaps. A veiled threat, maybe. Sarat was fuming. His sword had still not been placed away. I had one hand on my pommel. As I was saying, Hayden turned to me. Whatever he had directed at Sarat was gone. The Distancians have done us a great service in defeating our mutual enemy, and it would be my honor if your clan joined in this war with myself and the Klondikes. I don't know who was more surprised or ready to disagree, Tallow or Sarat. Then consider yourself honored. I would like to discuss this further, I replied, before either was given a chance to take away what had been placed before us. Medes, Hayden called over his shoulder. Tend to their wounded as if they were our own. Come, Winter, I would like to see this stronghold you have erected. He linked his arm through mine so that I could not get away, whether I wanted to or not. I smiled when behind us I heard Tallow and Sarat both say, "He cannot do this!" "I'm Cedar." "I don't care," Sarat said, as he stomped away. "He'll come around," Hayden said conspiratorially. "How is it you came by Metis?" "Klondikes prepare for all contingencies. Some of our soldiers train in the Medi field from an early age. We have learned that more combatants die from minor wounds or dysentery rather than an actual killing blow." "And the arrowmen?" "Archers," he corrected. 10 years ago, the Hylians unleashed that new deadly weapon upon us. We'd borrowed their new technology and have improved upon it."
"Is that legal?"
"This is war. There are no laws but what we establish for ourselves."
"Do you know why we are at war?"
My arm was nearly jerked loose from its socket when he stopped walking, and I had kept going. "Once again, Winter, you surprise me. I have spent my whole life preparing for or fighting this war, that I never once stopped to ask why.
No matter the outcome, the war always is.
You are right in this. Should we make it out of this season, I will make that my quest, to discover the truth."
He had said, "we." Did that mean all of us, or just the Klondikes, I wondered. "How many of you are there?"
"Are you wishing to gauge the strength of the enemy?" He was once again smiling. I looked down. Yes, that was partly the reason for the question. The other was how much might this agreement help my people.
"Do you trust me, Winter?"
"Should I? I think I have given you reason to do so."
"You saw an opportunity and you took it. That does not make us allies. Your friend does not see an advantage to us joining forces. We can offer you very little except burden. The majority of my people are underarmed and undertrained. We have lost more souls than we have left standing, and we've not even seen the first sunrise."
"Don't blow this for us, Winter."
Cedar was out of breath as she caught up. "Would you rather I seek out the Hylians, like Sarat had lobbied for? It seems that would give your clan the best chance."
"You're killing me, Winter. He offers a peace between us, and you are doing your best to throw it on the ground and step on it."
"Cedar, these might be things better discussed privately." I was glaring at her, but she paid absolutely no attention to my admonishment. Medes raced by us with their bags. Tallow was lingering behind, uncertain of what to do next. It was clear that Hayden thought me the leader of the Triumvirate, and therefore the leader of the Distancians. This was absurd to me, considering our plan had always been to leave the war at the soonest possible moment. Now, after 2 victorious battles, we were on the cusp of making an alliance with one of the strongest clans at war. There was shouting up by the wall. The Medes were being threatened.
"They're here to help! Let them pass!" I shouted.
It was one of Tallow's friends, Hendrik, I think. He looked over to me, and then at the distant Tallow. He put his sword down and allowed them unencumbered entry. I had not realized the destruction that had been wrought while we were fighting. Dead ferals made a ring around our walls, almost as if they were adding a layer of protection. The rocks were coated in blood, theirs and ours. "You will need to burn the bodies, or you will risk the spread of illness," Hayden said as he surveyed the area. "That is, if you plan on staying here." He was looking directly at me. You fought well here. Nothing I can say should take that away from you. But the ferals only know one way of attack, and that is as a swarming mass. They have no tactic other than running up to and through whatever is in their way. Should the Hylians come upon this stronghold, it will rain fire arrows down until not a soul survives. And should a few be able to stay hidden away, they will come with lances and shields that will far outreach your swords. I am offering you a chance, Winter. I will give you the night to discuss this among your clan, and in the morning I will seek your answer. If you choose against it, you will have naught to fear from me, for I will not attack any of you. I will turn away from this place and try to forget that I ever laid eyes across it or you. The latter will be much more difficult. He bowed and walked back to his men. Someone has a crush. Cedar was smiling. No, I don't, I told her back. I was talking about him, but now that you protested so loudly. With that, she walked away. I was left alone to my own thoughts. Tallow was slowly making his way over. If he took any longer, I would have to make the decision without his input, although I already knew which way he was leaning. Tallow was doing his best not to look at the faces of the dead amongst us. We did it, Winter. We actually beat them. I knew in which direction he was going. He was about to tell me that we could do this on our own. I was not as confident. Tallow, he offered us a chance. A true chance. Before you say no, look over those rocks at your own people. We don't have more than 60 or 70 left that can fight. We've barely gone a day. His head sagged. He'll kill us as soon as he gets the chance. Hayden has promised. Serret is his second in command. You should have heard him when you and Hayden walked away. He cared little that I heard everything he had to say. In fact, I think he was hoping I would say something, so he could lay my throat open right there and then. Maybe he choked a little bit. Maybe you and Cedar should do as you originally planned. And leave? Is that what you want? Yes. No. But if you leave, he cannot harm you. It's not as simple as that, Tallow. We're in it now. I thought I could walk away from these people. I cannot. You trust him? He asked the same question. Your answer? I didn't give him one. But it doesn't matter much. If he wants us dead, he needs do little more than walk away and leave us to the ferals. How does Cedar feel? I guess if he had a kilt, she'd be all in, but she's in favor as it stands. Then I am as well. I will tell everyone what is going on. Perhaps you should get some rest. War is a funny thing, Tallow. It makes allies out of enemies, and there is unstated civility in something that, by its very definition, is uncivilized. He walked away, perhaps thinking on my words. I didn't think he'd cave so quickly, Cedar said, popping up from behind a rock. Were you listening the entire time? How else was I going to find out what was going on? Maybe by asking me. Well, yeah, there's always that, even if it isn't as much fun. I don't know if I'm making a choice that will save us or destroy us, Cedar. You're making the only decision you can. We're out of options. If they hadn't come along when they did, there's no telling if we would have made it through the night. Well, the rest of us anyway, you'd be fine. I took Tallow's advice and found a lone tree away from the carnage. Cedar came with me. She had the pretense of reading, but she was asleep before I had a chance to find a somewhat comfortable position. I awoke with the soft rays of the morning sun lightly touching my face. I stretched my arms over my head and nearly had my heart stop at the same time. 3 ferals were no more than a sword swing away. I stood up as quickly as I could, catching the side of my head on a low-hanging branch. I muttered a couple of choice words as I drew my sword. The ringing of steel awakened Cedar. "Holy crap!" she stated, as she stood, unlike me, deftly avoiding hitting any of the tree. They made no move against us. And when my hammering heart finally calmed, I realized that none of them were armed with weapons of any kind.
"Winter, what's going on?" Cedar asked, moving closer to me so we could protect each other.
"This isn't in any of your books?"
She didn't answer, but I could tell she was shaking her head back and forth. At least that was what I thought I saw out of the corner of my eye.
The closest one bowed, followed by the other two. They then moved past us and toward their dead. More ferals came, unarmed and unadorned with any type of paint on their face, torso, or arms. We just stood and watched as solemn words were said over each body before it was taken away.
"Looks like they're not quite the savages we've been led to believe," I said to Cedar.
"If you say so." She had yet to put her sword down, and the ferals had retrieved nearly half of their dead. By now, all the Distancians were awake. Most had watched the ferals gather their dead for a while. When the awe and the fear had subsided, they'd moved on to other things, primarily getting their own deceased buried. I felt it was my duty to watch, as if I was honor-bound for both sides. Each feral death marked a sweeping victory. Each death of a Distancian, a slashing defeat. When the ferals completed their task, the original three came over to me and once again bowed before leaving.
"That's a sign of respect," Hayden told me later that morning. He'd been watching from the woods and didn't want to interfere with the grave tasks of the morning.
"Your beauty and stature increase with every passing minute." Hayden bowed low in front of me.
"A lot of bowing today," I spoke aside to Cedar.
"And it's still early. Who knows who may grovel at our feet later," Cedar said unabashedly. My face reddened as Hayden laughed.
"Very true, Cedar." He was all smiles.
"Have you made your decision?" he asked bluntly.
"I will not lie to you, Hayden. I am uneasy about this union. I do it more for the protection you offer the remaining Distancians than I do for the bond you are seemingly attempting to forge with me."
"Where's Sourpuss?" Cedar asked of Serret.
"Serret?" Hayden laughed.
"Oh, I would imagine he is planning a hostile takeover due to the fact that I've lost my mind."
"You say that in jest, Hayden, yet the peril falls on my people should you be deposed.
Not to mention what would happen to me."
That infuriating smile was still plastered on his face, almost as if all of this were some sort of joke.
I sighed heavily. The fates seemed cruel. We had won, and we had lost, and thus we were forced into a partnership out of need rather than desire.
"We are ready, as soon as I pay my last respects." I pointed to the numerous mounds of dirt.
"Of course." He walked about halfway back to the woods. There were 67 of us left when we marched away from the rock wall. We'd lost another two during the night from grievous wounds. Neither of them were Durango. He'd needed to be dragged, kicking and screaming, from a burrow he'd dug under one of the larger rocks. He'd not drawn a weapon during either of the feral assaults. Personally, I would have left him there. It was Tallow that lobbied for him.
"He'll die if he stays here," Tallow had said to me.
"And what of it? Would the world be so worse off if that were to happen?"
"What's happening to you, Winter?
I can't imagine you sounding like this even a week ago."
"How would you know what I was thinking a week ago? You had decided you wanted nothing to do with me."
"Is that what this is about? Don't flatter yourself. That coward is responsible for the deaths of most of our clan, and you want to save his life. Why?"
"Because you don't," he shot back angrily.
"He's your responsibility, then. See to it he doesn't get anyone else killed." I was so angry I was near tears. Thankfully, the shaking started after I was far enough away that I was certain he would not notice. Whether I shook from the tears or the anger was not clear. I was just happy he did not see it. Brody had warned us that there would be those who would just seize up at the first bit of trouble. The killing of another human being, or facing someone trying to kill you, will fundamentally change you. It will bring to the surface more of who you truly are, deep down, in here. He had pointed to his heart. It will be the measure of who you are, and what you will become. I could feel it, like a molten lead that was traveling through my veins, slowly hardening with each swing of my sword. I burned with the desire to make those who were responsible for this pay, while I also became cold to the travesties happening around me. Hayden had a couple hundred men with him. They enveloped us within their ranks. I wavered with each step between feeling protected and completely entrapped. It amazed me how quickly my clan adapted to this new reality. One moment they were looking around wildly at the Klondike soldiers, but within a few miles of hiking, paid them almost no heed. They walked with their heads bound, like they were defeated and being led to slaughter. Maybe they sensed something I was blind to. I walked up front with Hayden, who continually received reports from scouts. We were being followed by ferals, and as of yet had not been discovered by Hylians or the Brutons. Sarat had not come. He had elected to return to their headquarters ahead of us. "Home, sweet home," Hayden said as we approached a knoll. At first I did not know what he was talking about. Then the gaping hole in the hillside became visible. "All of your people are in there," I asked. My scouts stumbled upon it within a few hours of our insertion. "It's a vast network of caves. We haven't explored nearly all of it." Sarat stood outside with a couple dozen men. Their weapons were out, and they looked ready to use them. "Sarat," Hayden asked when we were within speaking distance. "We heard you were coming and were unsure who it was. Just wanted to be prepared." Hayden did not seem to be fooled by the obvious lie. Nothing could have gotten within a mile of this place without Sarat and their large scout network knowing who it was, especially a force as large as we were. This was a display of defiance. I took note of every man that stood with Sarat, because if and when trouble arose, it would be from those that stood with him now. "You can stand down, we mean you no harm." Hayden had said it as a way to alleviate the tension, but I could sense the effort he'd used to make it sound so jovial. Sarat was not so inclined to let it go. They moved just enough to let us through without causing contact. "So what do you think?" Hayden asked as he spread his arms wide. The cavern, for lack of a better term, was cavernous. The main chamber easily housed his and our clans with room to spare. A dozen fires lit the entire area up. "Wow," Cedar said as she pushed through. "I've set aside a portion for Distancians on the northeastern corner for now. But I think as soon as we can begin to intermingle, the better this will go," Hayden said, as he shot his thumb over his shoulder toward the opening where Sarat still stood sentry. My mouth began to salivate as the smells of roasting venison dominated the place. The Cedar had gone straight toward the cooking station and was hovering around those who were preparing the meal. Well, she sure made herself comfortable. I hope you all do. "What happens if you win, Hayden?" "When we win," he stressed the words, "we'll deal with it then." He hadn't answered my question, and it didn't look like he was going to any time soon. Chapter 13 Integration. Once we settled in, I could see that last night's fighting and the journey here had taken its toll on our remnants. Most had found an area to claim as their own and were in various stages of rest. Tallow had suggested we keep a few guards posted around our outer ring. I would have disagreed if I hadn't noticed that a good many of the men that had been with Sarat were now the closest to our border. "Have them do their best not to appear as if they are on alert," I warned him. The last thing we needed was testosterone-fueled fools getting into a fight that would drag everyone else into it. Cedar had not left the company of a group of seven of Hayden's soldiers. They were laughing, and she was telling a story animatedly, her arms playing out the scenes. They would, on occasion, pull off strips of the cooked meat for her, which she would eat greedily. As the head of the Distancians, I was invited to sit with Hayden and his group of leaders. "The burden—oh, I mean, "Guest has arrived," Sarat said, holding the leg of a cooked piece of fowl. "Careful, Sarat. She is the leader of," Sarat scoffed, "the leader of a bunch of rabble." A couple of the others at the makeshift table hid their snickers. Most looked on in dreaded anticipation. Hayden placed his hand on his sword. I placed mine over his. "Please, we do not wish to cause disruption within your ranks, especially not at your dinner table."
"Then you shouldn't have come." Sarat tossed his meat-stripped bone aside.
His eyes burned as they looked at me. "It appears that the mighty Hayden is smitten with his mongrel dog. Look how she keeps him in check." Sarat was playing it up for those around him, looking for followers, where previously he had none.
"Stand up," Hayden said with murderous intent. "I will not idly tolerate your constant criticism of my actions and directives. I was chosen as leader for a reason, Sarat. Or have you forgotten?"
Sarat stood, sending his seat spiraling backward.
"I have not forgotten, Hayden, but you have allowed your judgment to be clouded by that."
"I apologize, Winter. This is not generally how we treat our friends. Perhaps it is time I taught my second-in-command some manners." Hayden pulled his sword free. As Sarat did the same, the other officers moved away from the table. They stared at each other, Hayden waiting for Sarat to make the first move. Finally, Sarat broke. "I'm not hungry anyway. She's made me lose my appetite." He put his sword away and stormed off. Hayden sheathed his sword.
"That was interesting."
"Sit, sit," he ushered everyone back.
"All right, what are the latest developments?"
"Winter, this is Gregor. He is the head of my scouts."
"Pleased to meet you," Gregor said. He looked from me back to Hayden, and then at me again.
"We are in this together now, Gregor. Whatever you need to say to me can be said in front of Winter."
"Yes, sir. A scouting team of ours was discovered by Hylians. They were then overrun by a squadron out on patrol."
"How would we know this?"
"They released Dighton, one of the scouts, so that he might bring a message to our camp."
"What? Get him here, now!"
Hayden slammed his fists down on the table, sending a variety of objects to the ground. Within seconds, a scared-looking boy was at the table.
"So they let you go, Dighton. Unharmed as well. How fortuitous."
"Sir, they wished to discuss the terms of our alliance. They let me go in good faith. They said they would release the other three once we came to an agreement."
"Fool."
"Sir,
did you ever, for one second, think that they let you go so that they could follow you back here?"
Dighton looked like he was going to choke on his own tongue.
I didn't.
"Is this the best I can expect from your men, Gregor?"
Gregor recoiled like he'd been slapped.
"He's green, sir, but he did well in our training. Sir, my friends are still being held captive. They expect me back on the morrow. What should I tell them?"
"Maybe you should tell them that you betrayed your people. That would be a good start. Get him out of here, Gregor, before I have him flogged."
Hayden was deep in thought. No one at the table dared speak or move, even. When he finally looked up, and then at me, the crazed look in his eye made me flinch as if he'd landed a blow.
"How would you like to play a dangerous game tomorrow, Winter?"
"I'd love to," Cedar said excitedly.
The entire table of men were startled.
"How does she do that?"
I shrugged. "Natural stealth. She can sneak up on people, even animals, without them knowing."
"Perhaps you would like to become a ranger. At least if you were out there, I'd know you weren't watching me," Hayden said to Cedar. "Tomorrow we will meet with the Hylians. You will need to dress as a Klondike. The blonde hair will be troublesome, but perhaps it will give them pause to consider."
"You want me to walk into the encampment of the Hylians, conceal that I'm a Distancian, and pretend instead to be a Klondike?"
"Something like that."
"For what purpose?"
"Would it not be wise for you to see the opponent you will need to defeat up close? You may hear of their plans against you. In any case, they already know where we are. I can buy some time and perhaps get my men back."
I slept better than I expected to. It's amazing what a full belly and a measure of safety can do for you.
We leave in 5. I gathered these clothes for you.
Hayden handed me a bundle.
They may not fit perfectly, but they'll be close enough.
These are nice. Cedar was running her hands down the length of her new jacket and pants.
You're coming too? And when did you get clothes?
I've been up for an hour at least.
Didn't you smell the pig they're roasting? If you don't get up early enough, you miss out on the belly.
Is there any left? I nearly begged, and felt pathetic for it.
Of course, Cedar smiled, pulling some out of her pocket. I ate it hungrily, lint and all. I was not quite as enamored with my new clothes as Cedar was. They were stiffer and restricted my sense of movement. The collar was high and thick, along with padding on the shoulders and throughout the midsection. I appeared to have gained 30 pounds.
It protects against sword strokes, Hayden said, as he watched my distress.
It also prevents you delivering one, I said. What about the archers? Their uniforms don't appear as bulky.
Out of necessity for that movement you speak of.
If I'm pretending anyway, can I not pretend to be one of them?
You would need to leave your sword behind.
I grunted as I fastened the buttons on the torturous jacket.
I figured you'd see it my way.
Serret and 4 of the men from yesterday were waiting for us at the cavern entrance.
Are you joining us? Hayden asked.
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
It is good to have you back, my friend. Hayden gripped Serret's hand.
We numbered 10, including myself, Cedar, Hayden, Gregor, Dighton, plus Serret and his 4 men.
That seemed like a lot to me for an initial meeting.
Hayden assured me that it was not, that sometimes as many as 20 to 25 from each side could sit in.
We had not been out for more than an hour when Hayden called for a short respite.
He pulled me to the side with the pretense of showing me some of the fauna around us. He was mistakenly identifying plants as having healing properties that I knew would do more harm than good if applied as poultices, like he suggested.
You do know that is poison sumac, do you not? I asked.
I am completely unsure as to what I am showing you.
I have pulled you aside to make you aware that I do not know of Serret's true intentions.
He has brought 4 men loyal to him and his misguided cause. I fear he means you harm on our journey. He may strike under some pretense, or he will reveal your true identity while we are in our parley. The potential attack I had been wary of from the beginning, but I had not thought that he might betray us during the meeting.
What are the repercussions should he do that?
I will forever lose the trust of the Hylians, and it will certainly endanger us all.
And the rules of a parley
will be forfeit if I bring another faction unannounced to the meeting. He could potentially show me as the traitor he believes that I am, and turn us over to the Hylians, placing them in his confidence. Should they take us, we will most likely be tortured and killed.
Serret will then seat himself as the new leader, where he will bargain for a truce amongst them.
And my people.
As a show of good faith, he will either deliver them to the Hylians or have them executed by the Klondikes.
The form-fitting jacket now felt more restrictive than ever, as my heart tried to beat its way out of it.
You seem calm for having so much at stake.
I wish to trust my friend.
I do not know Serret like you do. I have no faith that he will act in your best interests, not to mention that of my people.
Why risk bringing him along? Can you not order him to go back? Or at the very least, wait here?
I only have my suspicions. It is not enough to justify those actions.
Is not the threat enough?
Sadly, no.
What if Cedar and myself were to go back?
No. It is much too dangerous at this point. I have to believe we are being watched.
We will do this together. He forced a smile.
Serret was huddled with his men, who were talking quietly amongst themselves when we returned.
Gregor, Dighton, and Cedar were looking over a crude map that Dighton had drawn, showing the way back to the Hylians.
Serret stood as he watched us approach. Did you enjoy your walk?
Very enlightening, I told him, not reciprocating the enmity he directed at me.
As we walked farther through the forest, great hills appeared in the distance. Soon they began to encroach on the forest floor, pushing our small party closer together.
The hills began to rise up steeply on either side of us, leading to a narrow pass that would allow only one of us through at a time.
If ever there were a place for an enemy to lay an ambush, this would be it. Dighton moved easily over some rocks that had settled in the choke, followed by Hayden. Cedar was just about to go over the first of the obstacles when she turned to me. She was about to say something funny. I could tell by the expression on her face, which changed immediately.
Winter, behind you!
She was pivoting to come back to my aid. I wheeled. One of Sarrett's men had drawn his knife and was close to pushing it through my back. His thrust burned my side as I attempted to avoid it, the sharp steel easily parting my clothes, then my flesh. I moved back. My vision tunneled and expanded quickly. The man was bringing the knife back and was attempting to slash it across my face. I drew my sword and was able to deflect the blow with the flat of my blade, which I immediately ran up his forearm, severing arteries and slicing through muscle like it was butter. He dropped his knife and screamed out in pain as blood splashed the ground around his feet. Cedar had just reached my side. I heard Hayden ask what was the matter, and then Sarah drew his sword. The look of shock and betrayal was evident on my assailant's face as Sarah drove his blade straight through his own man. Blood bubbles pulsed from his mouth before he fell face forward. I had to move my feet lest he land on them. I was breathing heavy from the short conflict. My heart was pounding. Sarrett was looking at me with murderous intent, his blade dripping crimson drops on the ground. He clutched it tightly, as if in preparation for further battle.
"Sarrett?" Hayden asked from atop the rocks.
"We had a traitor in our midst, Hayden. He did not see eye to eye with our war plan. I killed him before he had an opportunity to kill our esteemed ally."
"Is this true, Winter?" Hayden asked of me.
"Doubtful," Cedar answered. The man did indeed attempt to stab me, and Sarrett did indeed kill him, I said. It was the truth in its simplest form. However, it was the underlying tangle of worded webs that was the mystery. Had the man acted on his own, or had he been ordered?
"Come, then. He is not worthy of a burial. We must make haste to the Hylian headquarters. Stay up here with me. There are some things I would like to discuss with you, Winter."
Without saying it, Hayden had also displayed doubt in his friend. "The five of you together couldn't have beaten her," Cedar said to Sarrett, who was wiping his blade clean on the dead man's shirt.
"If I wanted her dead, she would be so," he told her.
We stopped once we got past the choke point so that Cedar could dress my wound.
"You all right?" she asked, pouring some water over the slice.
"I was," I winced as she placed a poultice on my wound.
"Big baby."
"Thank you, Cedar. If you hadn't warned me, he would have run his blade straight through me. I couldn't let that happen. Who would I talk to about my latest book?" She was smiling.
"Just thank you."
"You're welcome, Winter. Stay alive, and I'll consider that repayment enough." When she finished, I got up, and we got back to the column. The rest of the journey went without a hitch, probably because we did not give Sarrett another opportunity. I'd been so intent on keeping track of where Sarrett and his men were that when a Hylian guard told us to halt, I had been caught completely unawares.
"Stay to your business."
The fact that we weren't cut down immediately let me know that they'd been expecting us for some time. They'd probably seen us coming for a couple of miles.
"My name is Hayden, leader of the Klondike clan. I have come to talk with your leader. Menad has been waiting for you. What took you so long?"
I could sense Hayden tensing up. He was angered that a scout was questioning him. I placed a hand on his arm. The muscles under his jacket were coiled and taut. He looked to me and seemed to relax.
"My apologies. If you could please lead the way."
When we reached the periphery of the Hylian compound, I was amazed at their organization and discipline. Rows of tents were laid out in a uniform pattern. A large tent to the right had smoke pouring from the top that smelt like cooking meat. Farther back was a tent twice as big as the food station. A ring of guards encircled the entire structure.
"How much does he fear his own men that he guards against them?" I asked Hayden quietly.
"This is all for our benefit."
The guards did not move as we approached.
No weapons of any kind are allowed within, a large guard at the entrance to the tent told us.
And what of Menod? Is he armed? Hayden asked.
The scouts bristled. You are guests here and will do as our custom dictates.
This is a parley. Under the Articles of War, we are permitted to hold on to our weaponry.
We were seconds from getting into a fight we had no hope of winning. Hayden was not going to back down, and it did not appear that the scout would either, especially since he had 50 men to his rear.
Come! Come!
The flap to the tent opened up in front of us. One of the largest men I had ever seen in my life stepped through. Not large in stature, but rather in girth. I could not, for the life of me, imagine in what world he would have had access to enough food to make him that fat.
It is a formality, Hayden. I abhor weapons, and would rather they did not stain the sanctity of my home away from home.
Menot watched us remove our small arsenal of knives and swords. When we were done, he spoke again.
Jaelfin, let them pass. Come, Hayden, bring your people and follow me. We will discuss matters that concern us both.
Hayden shoved past Jaelfin, striking his shoulder with his own. If I thought Sarat could level a steely gaze, I was wholly unprepared for the one Jaelfin gave Hayden.
Menot may have abhorred weapons, but only those that his foes held.
Guards holding spears encircled the entire inside of the mighty tent. There had to be nearly 30 of them. Menot had already retired back to an oversized chair. The labor of walking back and forth seemed to tax him, as a sheen of sweat stood upon his brow, his breathing heavy. I did not like the way his eyes lingered over my form as he licked his lips, and then his fingers. A heavy coating of grease slicked them. He pulled a haunch of something from a large plate, and he watched us as he tore into it. Ribbons of meat trailed from his hands to his mouth, and yet he kept his gaze on us. I had the feeling it would be dangerous to look away, no matter how disgusting I thought he was. When he spoke, it was with a mouthful of food, and his words were garbled.
Before we discuss business, I would like to talk pleasantries. Who are these important people that you have brought with you?
Hayden spoke evenly. He clapped Sarat's shoulder. This is my second in command, Sarat, the leader of my guides, Gregor, and the man you captured, Dighton. The rest are our armed escort.
Come, come, you are going to tell me that the vision to your left is merely an armed escort. I would have assumed possibly your concubine or war whore.
I reached for a sword I did not have. Menot's eyes crinkled.
Have I upset your delicate sensibilities, my dear?
I am no one's whore, I told him.
Of course not. It was merely a jest. But then, who are you? Armed escorts do not usually speak at parleys.
He had baited me into a mistake. I am Winter, I was about to continue, when Hayden interjected. She is my master at arms.
Oh, that is a good one, Menot clapped. This waif is your weapons master. Surely you could have come up with something better than that.
A demonstration, perhaps, Hayden asked.
What are you doing?
I turned to Hayden. Menot the Mighty does not believe what I have said. He has insulted me, and he has insulted you. He is now under obligation to apologize, or let us prove we are as we implied.
Oh, this is turning out fantastic. It had been such a boring day.
Menot was practically dancing in his seat.
I take it an apology isn't forthcoming? Cedar asked.
Jaelfin,
Menot yelled. The large guard came rushing through the tent flap, hand on hilt.
Yes, sir,
he asked when he realized there was no threat.
Please retrieve the girl's sword. It appears that I have insulted our guests, and there is need for you to restore their honor by participating in a small demonstration with Hayden's mistress at arms.
Menot looked amused as he pointed towards me. Jaelfin eyed me before turning. He said,
with pleasure. When I had my sword in hand, Menot once again spoke.
First blood, perhaps?
My sword is indeed thirsty, Jaelfin said, as he charged. He lowered his shoulder into my midsection, sending me sprawling. He was laughing. Is it not customary among the Hylians to announce when sparring is about to begin? Hayden was red with anger.
My apologies, Jaelfin said. I got ahead of myself.
He offered a helping hand, but I turned and pushed myself up.
Can we begin now, Your Majesty? Jaelfin asked Hayden.
Are you all right? Hayden asked me. Fine, I said, brushing some of the dirt off.
Can we get this over with? I have things I need to attend to, Jaelfin sneered.
I got my feet into a proper stance and calmed my anger down. Jaelfin was once again getting ready to pounce. He was all brawn and no finesse, an easy weakness to exploit. I felt the familiar tug as time sped for a heartbeat and then slowed. He was already on the move. This time he did lead with his sword. The tip caught the edge of my shirt, ripping through the fabric as I danced to the side.
We are done here, she bleeds, Jaelfin said, getting ready to put his sword away.
I spun and smacked his ass hard with the flat of my blade, sending him hot-footing away. I splayed the tear in the fabric to show everyone he had not drawn blood.
Menot was laughing heartily now. Very good. She showed you, Jaelfin.
He was clapping again.
Ignorant bitch, Jaelfin spun.
His nostrils flared from his angry breathing. He charged again. This was not the attack of someone seeking to break skin. This was someone seeking revenge for being made a fool of in front of his leader. Even with my advantage, he was incredibly fast. I was barely able to get my blade up in time to block what would have been a lethal blow. My sword vibrated hard from the clash.
This is sparring, Hayden spat, not a duel.
Menot and Jaelfin were certainly not listening. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Sarat reaching for his blade. What he would have done with it had he had it was a mystery. I staggered from the blow as my own blade deflected Jaelfin's and struck the side of my head. Jaelfin leapt in again, his sword pulled over his head, attempting to hammer me into the ground with it. I was able to find my footing and move slightly to the right as his blade whistled past my face. Triumph went to dismay, a muscle movement at a time. When his blade struck dirt, I was able to bring mine up, the tip solidly against his Adam's apple. He froze, dropping his blade where it clattered to the ground. I gently scraped my point against his skin. A drop of blood no bigger than the tip of my finger welling up and fell, landing on his discarded sword.
Incredible! Just incredible! Menot stood with great difficulty and was clapping. I have never seen Jaelfin bested at the sword. That alone was worthy of having you in my presence.
I still had Jaelfin at the tip of my sword. Are we done? I asked, pressing my blade. I may have won the demonstration, but he didn't look like the conflict was over.
We are done.
His teeth were clenched so tight I thought he was in danger of shattering them.
May I? He asked, pointing to his sword.
I think that can wait, I told him. Move away. Slowly. My dilation was pulling away. I'd gone from zeroing in on the sweat dropping from his forehead to the astonished faces of all those present.
Jaelfin, get some refreshments for our esteemed guests, Menot said, once again lowering his immeasurable bulk back down.
I, for one, would not be partaking from anything he brought.
Impressive. Winter, did you say?
I did. I was taking in measured breaths so as not to appear winded.
A fair-haired female master-at-arms from the Klondike clan. These are truly strange times. I've heard rumors that the Pharaohs had received more than they could handle from the lowly distance clan.
There's something about a beautiful female warrior who could not die.
I heard that as well. I would not rise to any more bait. It was clear that Menot had not gained his present position through his skills as a warrior, but rather as a tactician. He knew more than he let on.
What of it? Menot asked.
It makes no difference to me if they wipe each other out. Seems it would be less for my clan leader to be concerned about.
This is true. Did you know that the Distancians have a propensity for fair-haired people, such as yourself?
My blade does not distinguish the color of one's hair.
Sarat, I can see you have something to say. Is this not the time to do so?
Menot now focused on the man. Sarat looked from me to Hayden.
I'm just surprised it took Winter so long to finish Jail Finn off. Ha! Yes, indeed. I'm surprised you came, Hayden. I've heard many reports of you and your arrogance, which is only surpassed by your pride. Did you invite me here to insult me?
Menot laughed, then in an instant turned serious.
I will do as I please. You have brought me a great gift.
How so? Hayden asked. The vast tent seemed to shrink, as a feeling of dread cloaked over me.
What would happen to the great Klondike clan if they were stripped of their leader, second in command, master at arms, and lead scout? I would think they would fall over themselves in an attempt to make an alliance with me. Of course, by then, I would use them as chattel, sending them first into every battle, and once they finished destroying my opponents, I would raise them. I will not stand here while you disregard the rules of a parley. Hang the rules, Menot roared. What I say is law.
Jailfin had returned, with not a tray, but rather a dozen armed men. I ran across the span of the tent. Menot shrunk back as well as he could as I leaped upon his dais. His guards, even with their spears, were two steps too far to help their leader. You move any closer, and I will slice his belly wide open. My blade was pressed against his girth.
You will pay for this with your life, Menot hissed.
Have you not already forsaken that? I asked him. What more can I lose at this point? I see your word is in direct contrast to your bulk. Menot looked like he had just sucked on a particularly sour lemon.
What will you do now, little girl? You cannot use me as a hostage. I dare say I could not walk more than a mile, and none of you look up to the task of carrying me.
He was laughing again. I could just kill you here and take my chances with them. His belly stopped jiggling when he heard the seriousness with which I had delivered those words. Have them drop their swords.
I will not.
I pressed my blade harder against his stomach. It went in nearly 4 inches before he spoke.
Drop them, he whispered, loud enough.
I think I could have gone another 4 before I actually bled him.
Menot, we can take them, Jailfin said hotly. Not before she skewers me like a lamb. It is me she is attempting to split open this time, Jailfin. Drop them now, before I am pierced. You know I despise the sight of my own blood.
Jailfin dropped his blade for the second time. His men followed suit.
Out!
I shouted over my shoulder. They withdrew, although not far. Sarat ran to the collection of metal and grabbed enough blades to arm everyone.
Now what? Sarat asked Hayden. We are in an unenviable position. By now, Jailfin has alerted this entire camp to what is happening. Even with her, we will not be able to fight our way out. You are not of the Klondike, are you?
Menot taunted.
I see the way Sarat looks at you. He does not trust you. What would he possibly have to fear from his own master-at-arms?
Don't you have something you could eat? Maybe then we could think without you interrupting us, Cedar said, approaching.
You must be Cedar. Surprised? You shouldn't be. I know about all of my enemies, even the lowly Distancians. It is unwise to underestimate one's opponent.